It was a dark and rainy day when we embarked on the water against the 39 steps. Indeed, Boartooth even recommended that we waited for a less inclement day to depart Dreadnought. I wouldn't hear of it. I found that I preferred the overcast skies, even felt invigorated by them. No, Boartooth. Prepare the troops. This very day, the plains of Wuin will tremble beneath the thundering hooves of our advance. In point of fact, we didn't have all that many horses, but we had enough to present a fairly impressive mounted presence and enough foot soldiers to inflict even more damage. As I predicted, we thundered out of Dreadnought, out across the plains, bearing west and then south towards the 39 steps. Our advance was methodical and organized and took many days, but never once in all that time was there any flagging of confidence in our eventual triumph. I'll never forget that first battle. The steps did not have individual names, but simply numeric designations. The founders of the 39 steps deemed that the best way to maintain their fragile nation as a unified whole. Individual names tended to breed excessive nationalism, which could spill over into more foolish pride-based conflicts, and so the steps were simply referred to as Step 1, Step 2, and so on. It was my intention to be as murderously methodical as possible. I guided our troops unerringly to Step 39, deciding that we would whittle our way down in reverse order. However, the defenders of Step 39 caught wind of our advance. No surprise there. We made little effort to conceal our approach and our intentions. As we drew towards Step 39, we saw a rather formidable army upon the horizon. They were lined up, shoulder to shoulder, some on horseback, most not, but they had swords in their hands and no fear on their faces. There was about a mile of territory between the two armies. Most of the ground was rather dried out, cracked and brown, albeit with a few shrubs here and there that served to break up the monotony. Slake and Boartooth and I came to a halt overlooking the field.
Brave bastards, I'll give them that.
Foolish bastards, I'd say. Rather dreary place to make one's home, much less fight to keep it.
Slowly, the army of Step 39 parted to allow several riders to pass through. They rode in a quick trot toward us, and I watched them come, my face deliberately impassive.
I believe, peace lord, they wish to parley.
Well then, let us not disappoint them.
Enderby galloped forward, with Slake, Boartooth, and that guy riding hard behind me. The wind was in my face, the nearness of battle making my blood run hot with anticipation. The closer we drew toward our opponents, the more anxious I was to get on with it already. We reined up within 30 feet of one another. I stared at the chieftain of the 39th step. He was not a behemoth, but neither was he tiny, and his bare arms seemed sinewy and powerful. He wore a plume leather helmet and leather armor so thick that it could turn away all but the most powerful of blows. It didn't concern me. Nothing did but the impending fight. I looked up. Mordant swept down from the sky, and I extended my gauntlet arm. Mordant, his wings beating the air and his tail sweeping gracefully through it, landed squarely on my arm. Enderby and our horses were quite used to Mordant, but the opposing horses were not. They tried to back away as Mordant eyed them, with what appeared to be either amusement or contempt, or possibly some of both.
They don't seem to like my pet.
I swung one leg over and hopped to the ground. If you had told me back when I was a humble crippled squire that I would someday be able to expertly dismount with no care as to the limits of my right leg, I would have thought you mad. By this point, though, it was so routine a maneuver for me that I barely noticed it. The man whom I took to be the opposing chieftain likewise dismounted. Carefully removing his gloves, a tradition to indicate that he carried no weapons in them, he then stepped toward me with an extended hand. His face was swarthy, his hair black and bristling.
I am Suleiman, sometimes called Suleiman the Magnificent, leader of Step 39, and you are the peace lord of whom we've heard tell.
And if you've heard of me, then you know that it would be wise for you to lay down your weapons and surrender to me, unconditionally and immediately.
And if I do not, do this thing, what do you plan to do? Conquer all the 39 steps in one great orgy of violence? Do you seriously believe you can overrun all the steps at once?
No.
Poor fool did not have the faintest idea of what he was facing. Truthfully, I wasn't entirely sure of what he was facing either. But I at least was in a position not to feel threatened by it.
No. I'm not so ambitious as to endeavor to take on the entirety of the steps in one grand orgy of violence. Rather, I was thinking of attacking a dozen at a time and achieving my goal that way.
So, you would embark on a 12-step program, then? A canny choice. But foolishness. As much foolishness as you're not even bothering to wear armor. You wear the woad of battle, but are not dressed for it.
Armor is too damned hard.
You cannot possibly triumph.
I do not know the meaning of the word cannot.
It means incapable of or beyond one's ability.
Thanks, Slake. I knew that.
Well then, why? My apologies, Miss Lord.
I turn back to Suleiman, who conveyed the attitude of one who was perfectly willing to wait all day.
Have you come to discuss terms for surrender?
Of course not. It is simply traditional that heads of armies meet prior to a battle, in hopes that it can be averted.
Enough of this.
My blade whipped down and around and sliced across the woman's shoulder, right where the leather armor was missing in order to allow freedom of movement, and my blade hacked clean through, severing his arm. Suleiman's face went deathly pale from the shock as his life's blood gushed from the remains of the stump, and reflexively he tried to reach for his sword with the arm that was missing. It was rather comical to watch, really, if one doesn't mind truly morbid humor.
You'll have to pardon me. I've never been much of a traditionalist.